we're going to talk about God being our hiding place tonight. And so I want actually, in a few minutes, I'm going to invite any of the kids that want to come and just sit in my fort. Not yet. In a few minutes. Okay, because I want you to hear what I'm saying, and you might miss it if there are kids, because they'll be so cute. You'll be watching what they're doing up here. So I don't want them to come up here yet. But I just want to explain this, because I feel like the Lord kind of taught me, gave me this illustration during worship as we were singing Good, Good Father. And I want us to understand, a relationship with God is meant to be a close relationship where he is our hiding place. We're going to talk about him being our hiding place. And we normally think of a hiding place as a place that you go and hide. Like if you're playing hide and seek, or if you're hiding from your children because, you know, you want to eat the chocolate that you were given and not share it, you know, or maybe because you just need a moment of peace, you know, I mean, and you know, whatever it is. But a hiding place, what we're going to learn from the word tonight, is a person. He is our hiding place. But I feel like often we have this mentality about God. And I understand this because of being raised and being introduced to God. You know, so I have friends, Brother Mike, that came and preached last Sunday night. You guys know Brother Mike. Well, Brother Mike, I have known them my whole life. Like, my parents and them were friends before I was born. So literally, they have known me, I should say, my whole life. They have been in our lives as long as I can remember. But for most of my life, they were my parents' friends. So it's kind of that friendship where when they come over, you sit and you listen while the adults talk because, you know, it's respectful and that's what you're expected to do. But as soon as possible, you leave the table and go hang out. For us, it would be with their kids who were our friends. Like, the actually, you know, Brother Mike and Sister Deb, now I consider them really like mentors. I have called them, you know, and just asked advice about church, you know, because I just value their opinion. They're mentors to me. But I say that because I feel like this is what can happen to kids that grow up in church, is that God can be like your parents' friend. Like, you know, you experience his presence, you know, when you're at family dinners, like when you come to church, like you experience his presence, but it's not the type of person that you would hang out with outside of that situation. Like, you hang out with them when you're all together because, you know, they're your parents' friends and that's what you do. But sadly, some people never take a relationship with God and make it like he is my friend. Like I said, Brother Mike and Sister Debbie, my relationship has grown with them so that I call them. And I honestly, if they come to visit mom, because they don't come to visit me, they come to visit mom. And I go to mom's house and hang out with them while they're there. Another friends of my parents, Tom and Lynn, when I was my third year in college and I needed to save money, I went and lived with them because it was way cheaper than living on campus. And so they were also my parents' friends, but I got to know them deeper. The cool thing was I actually got to know things about my parents that I didn't know because of living with their friends, you know, and that was cool, you know, I mean, and so, but what the Christian life is supposed to be, a progression of knowing God. And if you always see him as your parents' friend, like, okay, I hang out with God when I'm at church because that's what you're supposed to do. If you never hang out with God, and I say hang out because that is what you do with him. Like, if you never hang out with God outside of church, outside of a group setting, you know, you get close to your friends, you know, when you have a sleepover and you sit around and talk, or, you know, when you text all the time for this generation, you know, or when you, you know, whatever it is, when you hang out and you share secrets and you share moments where that person is there for you. Listen, this is what relationship with God is supposed to look like. And if we will recognize that that is what it's supposed to look like. Now, it starts with understanding him as Lord. Like, God, you are worthy of my whole life. All of my decisions, all of my dreams, all of my plans, you are worthy to have a say in all of that when I surrender my life to Jesus. That is what Christianity is. It has been watered down in extreme measure, but that is what Christianity is. Christianity is surrender to Almighty God. God, I want you to lead me. But listen, we surrender is hard, and it's death to self, and it's all of those things, but it is also wonderful because God knows everything about us, and he knows the best way to get us exactly where we need to be. And we can take all these detours and try to find, you know, all the things that we're looking for in other people, and we will end up empty. Or we can find it in God and get closer to Him. And man, I'm telling you, it's wonderful. So, okay, I just wanted to start off with that, because a relationship with God is not even... It's not supposed to be somebody that you describe, like the way that you know all the fan statistics about somebody that, you know, that you don't really know them, or even about your parents' friend, or even just somebody else's friend. You know, like, oh, they're that, I can describe that person because, you know, this person has talked to me and I know about them. It is supposed to be a personal relationship. And this is very important, because you guys need to understand this, and I want you kids to understand this too. It can start as early as you will. Christianity is not an adult thing. It is not like I can get Samuel spoke to the priest. God gave him a word for the priest as a child. David had a relationship, such a relationship with God as a teenager, that he was anointed as king. And all the men in the field were scared to fight Goliath. And David went running at him because he was so close to God and so offended that that giant had something to say about his God. Why? Because it was personal for him. When we have a personal relationship with God, when people talk about God, when they say offensive things about God, it's personal now, because He is my God. He's not just my parents' friend. He's not just the one from church. Like, He is my friend, my God. And so that's what it's supposed to look like. But it comes from you spending time with God in the secret place for yourself. And if you're only spending time with God when you're at church in a group, that's good. That's better than if you're not spending time with God at all. It's a good start. But if you will begin to spend time with God by yourself, you can do this at 5 years old, at 7 years old, at 12 years old, at 15 years old. You can spend time alone with God and say, God, I just want to talk to you about my day. I just want to read the word. I just want you to speak to me. And so He is our hiding place. Are any of the kids that want to come up just real quick and you want to have a seat in my fort? Because how many of you adults remember making these? Like, oh my goodness, so much fun. We would do this. Me and Janine had lots of fun times in our fort. And so, you know, yeah, just like, see, there, you can pile quite a few in there. Make some room. That's right. Make some room. Okay. Like, doesn't that look fun? Okay, this is the picture that I want you guys to have, is that, listen, God is called our hiding place. And so I want you to picture time with God rather than like, oh, I have to read my Bible and I don't really feel like it. But I want you to picture time with God like this. Like, I get to go to my hiding place and be with my friend and let him speak to me. Okay, because that's what it is, and it's awesome. And so it's fun, right? Like, it's fun to get in a fort. It's fun to hide. It's fun. Like, normally you would have this closed off and you would have a flashlight, you know, so that you could read or talk or, you know, whatever. But for the picture's sake, you have to be able to see inside. So, okay, good job, guys. Everybody go have a seat. Thank you. Okay, so when you think of somewhere to hide, it can mean lots of things. You can go there for lots of reasons. The three reasons that we're going to talk about. Number one, for safety and security. If you're running from someone and you don't want to be found, or something and you don't want to be found. So for safety and security, and we're going to go back over these. I just want to tell you what they are. Number two, for quiet or for peace, for a time to regroup, to think, to get, you know, get quiet. And number three, for secrets and memories. Okay, so Psalm 32:7 is going to be my main text today. And it says, if you want to stand, we'll read this and then you can sit back down. This says, Psalm 32:7, for you are, David was talking about God. He said, for you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. Okay, you can trust me that that's the verse. So, or you can look it up on your Bible. So David said to God, you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. So for safety and security, I want to read Psalm 31, verses 19 through 20. And this is such a cool, this verse 20 is so cool, but I want you to see verse 19 first so you have some background. So this was David speaking also. It says, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you. which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. So in the presence of other people. Verse 20 says, you shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife, which means bitter and sometimes violent disagreement of tongues. So this verse says, for safety and security, David said, you shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. So if you're struggling because, you know, maybe people are talking about you, maybe you just feel, you know, you're being accused of something, maybe, you know, whatever it is, God can hide us in the secret place. And we're going to talk about how you learn that, because we have to learn to believe what the Bible says more than we believe our feelings. Because sometimes we might not feel like God is hiding me. Like, I feel like I'm going through stuff and I don't feel like God is hiding me right now. And we can get angry at God and then discount all the things that he says in the Bible and just be like, that worked for you, Pastor Shannon, good for you, but it didn't work for me. We have to learn to accept the truth by faith and then begin to stand on what the Word of God says. And so this is a really cool verse that God will hide us in the secret place. Okay. Psalm 91:1 says, he that dwells or abides in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That word secret place is the same word as hiding place. It's the same word as that God will hide them in the secret of his presence. So he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. This is what's neat to me, is that we can learn to stay here. Like, even in a moment, like, my job is overwhelming right now, and I just want to pull my hair out or go and give somebody, you know, a what for in a non-Christian way. You know, I mean, we can learn to find God in that moment as our hiding place and find peace in that moment. Listen, this is the cool thing, is the more that you get to know God, it doesn't have to take an hour in the secret place. Like, sometimes just a minute, like, let me duck into this bathroom stall right now and just remember, God, you are my hiding place. You are faithful. Like, your word is true. You said you would lead me. You said that you would guide me. And so we can learn to make him our hiding place. Psalm 53:2 says, God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand. I love this word understand, because it means this, also used as the word instruct, to behave yourself wisely. If there are any who behave themselves wisely, because God is instructing them. But this is what I want you to see in the next part, who seek God. That means to resort to God. So God is looking, is there anybody that's going to resort to me, that's going to come to me when things are going on? Because a lot of times, you know, just like my children, there are times when they are struggling and I would love for them to just come and talk to me about it. And sometimes they don't. Maybe because they don't want to. Maybe because, you know, they're talking to somebody else, you know, for whatever reason. And sometimes it breaks my heart. How do we not realize that God must feel that way when our heart is broken and yet we don't go to him? We don't learn to run to him. I've told y'all how God had to, and I go to my mom and I love going to her. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety and there's wisdom, and you plans are established and all of that. That's a good thing, to go to counselors and to other people to ask them for advice. There's nothing wrong with that. But for me, I would always go to her immediately and not go to God. And at one point, God was kind of like, you need to come to me first. And so he then became the one that I went to. Now, if I have gone to God and I have asked his advice and I'm not hearing, like, and I'm still confused, honestly, sometimes then I go to mom and say, Mom, you know, I'm just confused. I'm not sure what I should do. I don't believe God has a problem with that. I think that's okay, because the Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So the last one, Proverbs 18:10. Will you put up the first PowerPoint, Josiah? I want us to understand this Psalm 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. What does that mean? That means if we understand who God is, it becomes like a fortress for us to run to. God is my healer. God is my protector. God is love. Like, because so many people struggle with not knowing that God loves them. Like, they think God can't love me. Listen, God is love. The Bible says he so loved the world. There's nobody that is beyond the love of God. Well, except the devil, you know, but he was in the love of God initially. You know, God loved him. God created him. So God is love. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man or woman or person runs into his name and is safe. So we find safety. I just want to say this before we move to point number two. David was a soldier. He fought many battles. He was a man's man. He was not a whiner. He was not weak. But he ran to God a lot. He called God his refuge and his strength and his fortress and all of those things. And so, you know, don't ever feel like you're being a whiner because you run to God. Because David, the Bible says in Acts 13, was God himself called David a man after my own heart. That's a pretty good title. So I believe God likes it when we run to him. Now, if you just run to him and go, God, I thought that you were going to fix this and you're not fixing it. And I don't even want to talk to you anymore. Okay, well, that's not really fun for anybody. You know, I mean, we need to come and yes, we pour out our complaint. David said, I poured out my complaint unto the Lord. But you would see throughout the Psalms, he would pour out his complaint and then he would praise. He would say, why are you downcast, O my soul? In other words, why are you so depressed? Hope in God. And he would remind himself to put his hope in God. So number two is for quiet and for peace. Psalm 119:14 says, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. When I need peace, I find it in God's word. You know why that is? That's because God is not my parents' friend anymore. And he is not, his word is not just something good that the teacher teaches. His word is precious to me. Like, I mean, the things that he has spoken to me are like written there, verses that have changed my life, have told me who I am, have told me what I can accomplish, have told me who loves me and cares about me and has a plan for my life. And it started, I remember, when I would go through the word. And I might read a chapter. And honestly, every verse might not speak to me. Some of it I didn't understand. Some of it I thought, yeah, I can't relate to that at all. Like, oh, deal with the bloodthirsty men. And I thought, yeah, that's not really where I'm at right now. But there would be a verse or two in that chapter that would just be like, wow, that is cool. And I would highlight that verse, or I would write down that verse and I would put it up. And that's how it started. And the more that we seek God and that we have experiences with God in the secret place, with him as our hiding place, the more that we go to God and say, God, I had a rough day, but you said that when I am weak, I am strong. And God, I don't feel like you love me right now because honestly, I feel really unlovable. But God, you said that you loved me and you said that if I would confess my sins, that you would forgive me and cleanse me. And God, I want to be your friend and I want to know you. And if we will do that and have experiences with God, we begin to build these memories and these experiences with God. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. Isaiah 26:3 says, you, talking about God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So why is it you read verses like this and you go, well, then why aren't more Christians in perfect peace? Because we don't bring thoughts into captivity. We do it because we don't determine to go, this is what your word says. This is going to be true for my life. Listen, it is a fight. I'm just going to tell you, we live in a world full of sin. And even if you're a Christian, most of you go to a school that is full of sin. You go to a job that is full of sin. You hang around other people that, you know, their lives are not centered on God. And so if you do not make a determination that you're going to remind yourself the truth and put it in your mind on a regular basis, then you can't coast in Christianity. We have to fight to live by the truth for now. Now, the cool thing is, one day the fight is going to be over and heaven is going to be awesome. It's going to be peace and love and hope all the time. I mean, I believe we're going to be able to travel just like Jesus did. I mean, it is going to be awesome. and it is worth the fight down here. But this is the cool thing. It's worth the fight down here, not only for then, but for now. You hear all these people that they get everything that the world has to offer. I was listening to Jesse Duplantis the other day, and people that are at the top of their game, they have looks and success and money and fame, and they're like, is that it? Like, is this all there is? Because it is empty without knowing the one who created us. We need to know our creator in order to find our purpose. And yes, it's hard and we have to fight sometimes. But I'm telling you, the fight is worth it. So if we are going to stay in perfect peace, we have to keep our mind on him. Because this word says, because he trusts. The word trust means to run to for refuge, to be confident or sure. So when we will keep our mind stayed on him, and when you don't feel confident and you don't feel sure, you go back to the secret place. And like, the secret place does not have to be your bedroom closet. The secret place, like I said, is a place where you go to with God. It can happen in a moment's time where you go, you know what? Right now I'm overwhelmed, but God, I remember that you are my hiding place. God, you said that you would keep me in perfect peace if I would keep my eyes on you. And I have learned this, and I keep saying this because it has changed my life. When I find myself overwhelmed or stressed, it is always because I am looking at people or circumstances instead of at Jesus. And when I go, wait, why am I so anxious? Oh, because I am looking at myself, at other people, or at the circumstances. And I go, I look up. Sometimes I do it physically. I look up and I go, God, you are so able. You are so almighty. Your word is so true and you are so faithful. And you said that you would lead me in paths of righteousness for your namesake. You said that you are my shepherd. You said that your sheep know your voice. And God, I can hear your voice because you said I could. And all of a sudden, like, my perspective changes and I'm not stressed out anymore. Now, I might have to do that multiple times if it's a really stressful situation in that hour, but it is worth it. So, let me turn the page. Okay. Job 5, 17 through 21 says, behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening or the punishment or the correction of the Almighty. For he bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but his hands make whole. He shall deliver you in 6 troubles. Yes, in 7, no evil shall touch you. In famine, he shall redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. You shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue, and you shall not be afraid of destruction when it comes. Whatever we're going through, God can hide us. He can strengthen us. He can encourage us. Psalm 142, 2 and 3, it says, I pour out my complaint before him. That is amazing that we can do that. I have done that. I have poured out my complaint before God. And that, it really does draw us closer when we just talk to him about stuff. I've done it in written form. I've done it in talking. I've done it in my mind without even speaking it out loud. I poured out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. Because the Bible says not to be anxious for anything, but to present your request with thanksgiving. So many times I have to lay out my request. Like, God, this is my trouble. We see that's what Jehoshaphat did. That's what Hezekiah did. These great kings, they laid, God, this is the problem. And then notice verse three says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. How many of you, it just makes you feel good that somebody notices when you're struggling. Like, even if, you know, me and Janine, sometimes she'll just, are you okay? You seem strange today. It's because she knows me. My moms do the same thing. I mean, people that we know, we can tell when something is off about us, about them. God is like that. He can tell when things are off about us anyway. And so he knows where we are in the way. Then you knew my path in the way in which I walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. One more verse on this, and then we're going to wrap it up with number 3. Psalm 139, 11 and 12 said, I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. I don't know about you, but I love to pray in the dark. Now, you cannot lay down in the dark and pray, because you will end up lying in sleep before the Lord and maybe dreaming godly dreams, or maybe not. But like this whole idea, if I could just sit here and cover this up, I love to be in the dark, especially when I'm praying, because I'm less distracted. Because when I'm not, like if I'm praying in the house, honestly, sometimes I'm like, oh, I need to clean that up. Man, the kids left their shoes again. Like, oh, I need to put this, you know, there's toys all over the place. You know, I mean, and I find myself like looking at all this other stuff that I need to do. So I love, plus, I don't know, there's just something about like, you know, if all the blinds are shut and it's raining outside and it's kind of dim in the house, I love that. Like, I just like it. It's just comforting to me. And so even the darkness is God will be with us there in the darkness. You know, I have prayed in my bathroom because there's no windows in my bathroom. And you might think this is gross, but I don't care. I mean, it's a quiet place, and I have gone into my bathroom because then I could close my bathroom door. It's completely dark and completely quiet. And I'm just like, this is awesome. Like, I like this, you know, I just pray, you know? So number three is for secrets and memories. Psalm 31:3 says, "For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me." God gave me this psalm, this verse, and this will happen as you will walk with him and listen to him. He will give you specific verses for your life that become just like letters that you keep because you're like, oh, I love what this person said to me. That's what verses become. They're like, oh, I just want to keep this forever because this person wrote this about me, or this person wrote. The scripture can become very personal to us. God, I know that you gave this to other people, but like, this is mine. Like, really, this verse is for me. You know, and Bill Johnson was talking about this in one of his messages, and he said, we can get so attached to scriptures that you're almost like offended when somebody else preaches about it. Like, that's mine. Like, God gave that to me, you know, but it's cool. Like, there's a closeness that comes. In your devotion time, you make memories with God. Things he teaches you, scriptures that he shows you. I'm going to tell you, Rick is wonderful, and he is a wonderful husband. We've been married 22 years, but he's not my hiding place. He can't read my mind. He doesn't always know what to say or how best to help me, because he's human, and sometimes he's dealing with his own struggles. He's wonderful, and he's a wonderful addition to my life, but he is not my hiding place. God is my hiding place, because God knows exactly what we're thinking and how best to instruct us. He never gossips, and he isn't afraid of telling us the truth, but always sees what can be accomplished in us. That's amazing. Psalm 139 says, "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." That's Psalm 139, 17 and 18, Josiah. We don't even realize like how much God loves us, how many thoughts he thinks about us. You know, and some of this I didn't understand until I was a parent. And there are so many thoughts that you think about your kids, like so much that you care about them. And God feels that way about us. So many thoughts that he has toward us. And so I just want to show you, when you are in the secret place with God, this is what it can become. I want to show you, if you put up the next PowerPoint, Josiah, I looked up tree houses and this is what came up. Like, what has happened to tree houses? I was like, they didn't have tree houses like that when I was a kid. Like, now they have tree house masters and people like make these 5-bedroom fancy homes, you know? No, that's not. Do the next one. This is a tree house. Okay, that is what I remember as a tree house. Like, you're kind of worried it might fall, you know, but, you know, it's like on the front, it says no girls allowed. I mean, it's like his secret place. Like, that is his place to go and make memories. And, you know, you like people talk and you share secrets and you make memories there. And so I want you to understand that is what the secret place should look like with you. And these are just for me. These are some of the verses that God has given to me in my time with the Lord. And I just want to tell you so that you don't feel bad when this happens to you. Okay? When I have my devotions, maybe I, like I said earlier, I read a whole chapter. I might not hear a hallelujah chorus. I might not feel the presence of Almighty God. I mean, sometimes I do, but sometimes it's not supernatural. It is, I am filling my spirit with the truth, and God, the Holy Spirit, will bring it back to me. But man, sometimes after the third time that I've read Psalm 23, because the Lord led me to read it 3 days in a row, like I'm just like, God, is there anything you want me to read? And I shared this before, but maybe Psalm 23 comes and I've read that the last 2 days, but okay, I'll read it again. And I get to verse 3 and it says, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I have heard Psalm 23 my whole life, my whole life. But let me tell you, my 42nd year, well, now I'm 43, but my 42nd year, this verse became very precious to me. Like, God, you will lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Like, it's not even just about me. It is about you leading me. And so this is what you need to do, is you need to take these scriptures, you know, metaphorically speaking, because obviously most of you probably don't have one of these, you know, in your house. And you need to put it up, like, in your secret place. Like, go back to the scripture, Psalm 31:3. That's the one I shared earlier. And you need to put it up. Like, if you have a journal, you write it in the journal, and you say, God, you gave that verse to me. And it's just like when the kids get in the treehouse, and they have things written down, like, these are our treehouse rules and whatever. And they get in there, and they remember, like, oh, this is what happened, and this is what we did. You make memories with God. And when you go into the presence of God, like, you remember, God, this is what you spoke to me. This is what you spoke to me. Like, and then, for lack of a better way of saying it, it becomes worth it to spend time with God. Listen, He is worth it. It is worth it. And you can get as close to Him really a lot faster if you would spend more time with Him. But if you spend like an hour a week, I mean, you know, now with texting, I mean, I'm amazed at how much conversation can happen, you know, like in a couple of hours. Like, you've been talking for a couple of hours, all this texting. You know, we can get so much closer to God based on how much time we spend with Him and how much we talk to Him.